Welcome to the Chicago Bears Podcast, a presentation of ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Here's your host, Pat the Designer.
Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears Podcast coming your way. This is ESPN Chicago's Hard Knocks Recap, brought to you by ComEd. A lot to get into on episode 3. It's your boy, Pat the Designer. And as always, on a Wednesday, joined by the great one, the man, the myth, the legend, the man that's keeping fullbacks alive in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Jason McKee, all the way from Kansas City, which is why it looks like his phone is kicking it under the table. J-Mac, what's going on, man? How was the flight, my boy?
It was good, man. I'm really finna be a fullback this weekend, man. I'm finna go to all the barbecue spots, man. There's so many spots here. Like, there's gates. There's one place called, I think it's called Q32 or one of them spots. So I'm excited, man. I'm ready to get this pot in, talk about Hard Knocks, but I'm finna go hit up all this barbecue.
My guy, that's not called a fullback. That's called a big back. That's different. That's a little bit different.
Baby back, rib tip, whatever. I'm indulging in it all this weekend.
Today. No, I absolutely love it, man. But hey, we got to get into this Hard Knocks episode because we got episode 3 last night. This is something we've been doing every week after the episode. And I mean, listen, another episode of, you know, you got a lot more of the football side of things, which for me as a football, I want to watch Hard Knocks for the football side. It makes me happy. Let's jump into our ComEd electric moment of the episode, brought to you by ComEd. But first, we got to hear from J-Mac from a message from our sponsors.
Yes, more business across Northern Illinois are partnering with the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program to save on energy costs. Get started with a free ComEd facility assessment to find new ways to control your bottom line. Learn more at ComEd.com, powering biz.
Let's get into the ComEd electric moment of the episode. Thank you to ComEd for supporting the show. J-Mac, what was your electric moment of the show? I mean, there were so many good moments, this one. Ton of football moments, which for me, right, I love all the stories. I love bringing humanizing the players and stuff like that. But as somebody who's watching Hard Knocks for football, I could do without a lot of it. So I feel like episode 1 and 2 was like, tell these stories. This, I got all football. I got plenty of football to be excited about. What was your electric moment of the episode?
A couple of them. One football and one non-football, but a football tradition. So I'll go with the first one. Austin Reed, the rookie premier. You know, he sang Keisha Cole's Love. He did a good job, man. He was prepared. You know, he sang it. He broke it down. He even did a mic drop at the end, which I really respected because, you know, it's a tradition in which – you know, rookies got to go do a rookie premiere. They got to put on some type of performance, tell a joke or whatever. And he was well prepared. So anytime that we had rookies like that, that were prepared and actually really, you know, took advantage of the opportunity, you know, we respected that rookie. So I respect Austin Reed putting on a good performance. He got his whole team involved. He did a good job there. But my football moment was when Coach Flews was on the sideline with Tyson Bajan at practice, right? And he's asking, so what do you see here on this play? And Tyson's really dissecting coverage. He's breaking down, like, what he sees, but he also breaks down the what ifs, right, from a quarterback standpoint. And I think a lot of people don't understand, you know, what's involved in just one play from a football standpoint, not only at the quarterback position, but in general, right? A lot of people just think we go out there, we're just big guys, it's a physical game, but this game is completely mental. So you see how much the quarterback has to process pre-snap, or as soon as he breaks the huddle, he gets the line of scrimmage, pre-snap, what he has to go through before he actually, that ball gets snapped. So I'm glad they're showing more of those football things and showing what goes on in the mind of a quarterback from a football standpoint in that episode.
No, yeah, I love that part. I mean, and it's Flus doing exactly what we saw Nick Saban tell him to do in the first episode, right? It's him going, all right, I understand that. What do you see? What are you seeing? Okay, what do you see right now on this defensively? Oh, I see single high, but they got the safety coming over. And like, as he's breaking it down, it's like, okay, this guy has a understanding of the game. Like you said, a cerebral, he understands the cerebral part of the game. Right. And it was cool to see that. I mean, we saw that throughout this episode. Of course, we'll get into some of the other real cerebral moments, but when you look at that moment, when you look at the moment with Caleb Williams, you can tell that there's a different level of preparation coming in for these quarterbacks, and they're just taking it to heart and understanding it. I think that that is awesome to see from this Bears group as a whole. And it really, to me, not only shows the development of the quarterbacks, but I feel like it's showing the development of Matt Eberflus as well.
Yeah, I think, and when you look at it, right, this episode started with a meeting with Caleb and Flus, right? And Caleb sitting, and this was after, I think that first meeting they showed was after the Buffalo game, right? So they show it, and Coach Flus is talking to Caleb. What'd you learn from your first, you know, live action? What'd you learn from this experience? You know, the breaking down film and stuff like that. They're going over coverages. And the funny thing is, you know, Caleb said, I learned that practice is harder than the game. You know, and it's funny because he's not slighting a Buffalo defense that he faced. He's just going against a really good defense each and every day in practice with that Chicago Bears defense with so many blue chip players at every level of that defense, defensive line, linebackers, and secondary. I mean, there's ballers on that defense. But, you know, these quarterbacks get an opportunity to get a PhD in defense, right? Not just from practice, but from an elite defensive mind like Coach Eberflus. So, you know, they get to learn things from a defense. They get to learn the structure of a defense from an elite defensive mind, an elite defensive coordinator from Coach Flus, and that'll help, you know, help their development in terms of their quarterback play.
Yeah, no, I agreed 100%. And you're just seeing that continue. And I think what's good about this is Hard Knocks is phenomenal storytellers. That's what we know, right? If you've watched Hard Knocks at any point, I swear, you would think that every team that is on Hard Knocks is going to the Super Bowl. Like when you get these stories, when you hear about these athletes, you'd be like, oh, they got to be going at least, you know, 11-5, right? Like there's no way they're going, or what is it, 11-6 now? There's no way they're going to lose. Right. And then like, right, you know, they go 3-14 and you're just like, what the heck happened? Like none of the stuff we saw in Hard Knocks came true. But I think the difference is not only are we seeing these conversations play out on Hard Knocks and different things like that, but you're also seeing it when you're watching the games. When I'm going to practice, right, I'm seeing these moments turn into things where it's, you know, whatever he said on the sideline, when you can't hear it, whatever he said, it worked because on the next drive out, Caleb comes out and he's able to deliver 2-3 dots, right? So I think that that is a really fun part to see a Hard Knocks team that it's actually working for, because coming off of the Giants camp, poor Brian Daboll. That's all I'm going to say there. That's all I'm going to say there. My electric moment of the episode, I'm not going to lie to you, J-Mac, it was getting the inside scoop on the Judon situation and being able to see that Matt Eberflus is not, while he is very, again, we talk about the cerebral side of it, right? He's very cerebral. He's going about this logically, but getting the emotion of, man, I'm going to be sick if he go out there and get 20 sacks. Like I, you can tell he wants Matt Judon on the team. You can tell that he wanted to get this deal done, but he wasn't willing to compromise going out there and jeopardizing the future of the team just to bring in a fun player now. And to me, from what we come from with Ryan Pace, where it was, take these picks, we're going after Mitch. Take these picks. 4 first-round picks, we're going after Khalil Mack. We're adding to this team. All right, you added to it. Are you going to win right now? Because that's the decisions you made. I don't feel like we're in that situation. I feel like we have a GM that wants the best talent, but is also excited about some of the talent that he's already acquired on this team.
And he said that since day one, right? Since day one, since he's taken over, he said, yeah, they're going to be aggressive in acquiring talent and always trying to bring in a competition to make this roster better. But at the same time, he wants to make sure that their players in every aspect of the NFL, right? So in free agency and in the draft, you know what I mean? They want to make sure that their players in every part of building this team and building this roster. And he said it, right? And a lot of GMs, they say those things, but their actions don't show that. His actions have showed that. Like, I'm not going to, not a contract negotiation. We actually make the sheet. We're not going to do it. And it's not going to come in there. You can get a guy like that, you know, help your team, but you can't compromise the future by, you know, putting your heart and say, we're going to grab this guy. No, you got everything. Can be players in free agency next year as well. And he's done that. You know, he's shown that over and over again. He's done that. So, I mean, that's why I think, you know, he's doing a great job because, like you said, Pat, we have not seen that here with some of the GMs that we had, you know, prior to Ryan Poles.
No, it's always been, I got to go big or go home, right? I got to do something for these Bears. And listen, as Bears fans, we put the pressure on our GMs to do that, right? We're the ones that go out there and say, go get me a quarterback. We have never had a 4,000-yard passer. We've never had a 30-touchdown quarterback. Go get me a quarterback. They go out and get Jay Cutler. We didn't have enough to protect Jay Cutler. So now all of a sudden it's just like, well, what's wrong with Jay Cutler? It's like, well, it may not be Jay. It may be the fact that you gave up everything that you had to try and go get Jay Cutler. And then on the flip side of that, you didn't have anything on the offensive line and you weren't able to find anything on the offensive line. Well, go get Khalil Mack. Let's start winning right now. Yeah, well, that's great to say. But defensively, you know, when you look at this team, in the long run, you couldn't add as much to this team as you wanted to offensively because of how much you invested defensively. I think for me, that's really the thing that stood out the most. And it's been something with Ryan Poles that we've seen consistently. It's been something with Ryan Poles that even at the draft, he was scared that Rome Odunze wasn't going to be there. And he was like, I'm ready to trade up. Like, I got to get on the phone. Ian's like, relax, calm down. I mean, we're going to be okay. He seems like he's falling our way. We don't have to do anything drastic. And there's still other guys on the board. That, the knowledge of knowing yourself, I think is something that we haven't had with GMs where he's very self-aware. He knows he can get excited. He knows what his plan is, and he's willing to stick to that. But at the same time, just in case I get too excited, I got other people around me that are also going to make sure that we stick to the plan in the long run. I think that to me is seeing that part of Ryan Poles, seeing the excitement that he has for the young players who are also on the team as well. Like when you think about them coming in and talking about Austin Booker right after that, saying, yeah, we didn't get Judon, but I mean, we got Austin Booker for a fourth and he looks like he's going to do some good things. Like, that's the part that I think is exciting as Bears fans right now. Uh-oh, J-Mac froze on us. We got J-Mac froze. Somebody screenshot this right now. I need somebody in the chat to screenshot. There he is. Oh, dang it. Well, we'll keep this thing. We'll try and get J-Mac back. The internet froze a little bit up on him. He's out in KC doing the good job of being the sideline reporter. You can't take that away from this podcast, right? We not only have the best beat reporters on this show, we not only have the best people on the radio on this show, we also got the best sideline reporter on this show as well. So we'll see if we can get J-Mac back in here. Let's keep this thing moving along. I'll talk about the ComEd moment of light. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. And we do have to let you guys know that your company can save money by becoming more energy efficient. In fact, the ComEd Energy Efficient Program can help your business find up to 35% in energy savings, resulting in lower energy costs for its facilities. At ComEd, we're not just moving toward a clean energy future. We're powering the future of your business. Sign up for your free facility assessment at comed.com/poweringbiz. My ComEd moment of light, and I think this was a lot of people's moment of light, was Caleb Williams. Because a lot of people looked at the struggles that he had on the first three drives and were like, oh God, we're just doing terrible versus the second team defense there. Like, what the heck is happening? Why are we struggling through this? What's going to happen now? Right? Like all of these questions that were coming up on Caleb Williams in a second preseason game, which was hilarious to me as well. But you had all these questions popping up around Caleb Williams. And then you get the moment in Hard Knocks where you basically find out that he was piecing this whole thing together with his headset being messed up the entire time, wasn't getting the full play, wasn't getting the full moment, right? Wasn't getting the full call in there, was just kind of trying to figure it out on the fly. But this is my moment of light, not because, you know, I think it felt a little pushed. Yeah, I mean, it felt a little pushed. We got J-Mac back in here. J-Mac, we got that. You good to go?
Am I good? Man, this is crazy.
Hey, Matt, that's hotel Wi-Fi, baby. Don't feel bad about it. We all know how it goes. You're doing the good job of covering this Bears team on the sideline, dog. No, I was just saying, J-Mac, my moment of light was Caleb Williams' headset basically cutting in and out the whole time. Now, as somebody who's always conspiracy theory with the Bears, right? It feels like that was a little bit pushed a little heavy on that, right? Oh, he struggled. Here's why. But there is something to that. But my moment of light is not the fact that he struggled. My moment of light is the fact that through the struggles, through getting just bits and pieces of the play, Caleb Williams was still able to go out there. He was still able to call the play. You saw him multiple times go, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. I'll piece it right together. Right. Puts the play together. It doesn't end up working out successfully, but the understanding of the playbook that you have to be able to get part of the play and say, this is probably what they call it, and get everybody organized, get everybody set up, get everybody ready to go offensively, go out there and run a play. That to me was my moment of light, because this young man being in the playbook and understanding it to that level is impressive to me at this point.
Yeah, I get it. And I don't want to take nothing away from Caleb. Yes, he's a rookie, but you're the franchise quarterback. You got to know the playbook. You got to get guys lined up. Even if it's a veteran like Keenan Allen, who's been in the league for a long time, he's new in the system. You got to get Keenan lined up. You know what I mean? That's your job as a quarterback. You got to know what everybody's doing. You got to be the director. You got to be the orchestrator. I've got to get everybody lined up, make sure we're all on the same page. Hey, you may have to make the mic point to help determine what type of pass protection you're going to have and things like that. So he's supposed to do that. And the thing is, in preseason, a lot of the game plans are vanilla anyway. So it's basic stuff. Like they're not running a lot of stuff that they're going to run, you know, week one against the Titans. There may be less shifts and motions and stuff like that. Their base run. So he's got to know the base playbook and a vanilla game plan. He's supposed to do that because things happen. Like, you know, you're not always going to – the headset's not going to work. It was raining. I was on the sideline. It was pouring down. Then it got sunny. Then it was scorching hot. And then it started raining again. So the elements play a big part of that. You know what I mean? Like, so things are going to happen. Just like the Wi-Fi in the hotel's trash here. Sorry. But, yeah, things are going to happen. But I would say, you know, my moment of light is, you know, I want to bring light to Tyson Bajan, right? Mm. And, you know, I think – I want to bring light to his father, Travis Bajan, who I love, who I think he's awesome. I think he needs his own reality, so he is hilarious, man. Like, you know, him talking about it, and I didn't like it, but I thought it was funny because he said, let's take the running backs out of the game. And, you know, I didn't like that part, but at the same, and he said, let's make it all passing. Let's make it all passing. And then they were asking him about, you know, how's Caleb? He's like, oh, Caleb's good. All these guys are good. They're rich, and they all got hot girlfriends. Like, he is a dude's dude, man. Like, I really love Travis Bajan, but I love the fact that Tyson went out there and he's done that ever since he's been here in Chicago. When given the opportunity, what does he do? He lights it up. You know, we're talking about the light, you know, he lights it up. Like, he went out there, threw for 2 touchdowns, took command of the offense. Yes, that's a base game plan, but he went out there and did exactly what he was supposed to do. You got to go out there and perform. So Tyson Bajan, you know, my moment of light, he's been lighting it up. I'm excited to see what he's going to do here in Kansas City. He's probably going to take majority of the reps. And he said that in the episode too. He was like, hey, you know, I'm not just trying to be a guy in the quarterback room. I'm trying to be a guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just here just to be a backup. Like, I have goals and aspirations as well. So, you know, we'll probably get a half in the game, you know, against Kansas City tomorrow. So I'm excited to see Tyson Bajan go out on the ball.
No, man, absolutely. Like, legitimately watching Tyson out there. And I said this today at practice, because we were talking about the whole Giants situation and stuff like that. I was like, Tyson Bajan is a better quarterback than a lot of team starters out here right now. There's a confidence in this young man that you don't get in every quarterback. Tyson really believes he could be the starter on this team. You don't get that from everybody. Some guys become the backup. And I thought it was very good in this episode where Tyson was like, I am not just a backup, and I'm not trying to be — what do you say? I'm not trying to be a player coach. That's not what my goal is in the NFL. Some dudes are okay with that. Some — you see some of these — who was it? He was a quarterback at Alabama. And he was a really nice quarterback. And I think he backed up — I want to say backed up Andy Dalton for years in AJ McCarron.
It might be AJ McCarron. It's a lot of them Alabama quarterbacks that have been backups, you know, like, no disrespect, but it is. I mean, it's a bunch of — but you know, the thing too, I like the fact that, you know, it's — they really broke down Tyson's college career. And when you look at how many snaps he's taken at quarterback and how many yards, he threw for over, I think they said
17,000 yards.
Like he's seen, like in college, and yes, it's a lower division, right? Shepherd University, right? It's not Alabama, right? It's not, you know, the University of Florida. But at the same time, he's still playing quarterback on a collegiate stage. You know what I mean? So has he seen every look that you can possibly throw at him? No, but he's seen a lot of looks. And he's punished those looks for 17,000 yards. You know what I'm saying? So he's a guy that when you know who can learn a system. He showed that he has the mental makeup to be able to understand coverages. He broke that down with Coach Fluce. We got a glimpse of that, but he shows you that he's more polished than a lot of rookies that come in this game playing quarterback because he's had 5 years of college and he's had that type of success and he's had, you know, so many snaps at quarterback. So. In his drive, like his offseason workouts, insane. You know, he has the drive, he has the passion, he has the confidence.
Grinding my absolute face off. That's what he said.
I'm grinding my face. And his dad, I mean, his dad, it's the pedigree. Like his dad is a world champion arm wrestler. He's borderline. Like he, you know, there's something loose up there. But all successful people, they're different. They're different.
I'm not gonna lie to you, J Mac. His dad has one of my favorite. I didn't even know until I started watching right after last year. I'm like, okay, I got to see about this guy's dad. His dad's got a moment in a championship to win a championship where you can't tell in the beginning he's toying with this dude, but then the dude almost wins.
Oh, wow.
And then he absolutely pins him. He's like, it's like, you better go now. You better go now.
Yeah.
Too late. Going the other way and pins his arm down. It's just, but it is that it's that mentality, and you can tell Tyson exudes a lot of it, right? It's the mentality of, you know, I'm not out here just to be a guy. I'm out here to be the best guy. And yeah, those guys don't always make it in the NFL. I'm sure there's a lot of guys that had that work ethic that didn't end up being superstars in the league. But do I think that Tyson Bagent can be one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the NFL? I think if given that opportunity, yeah. I think we saw it last year. He came in very poised. He was able to deliver the football against NFL-level defenses. Yes, he had his struggles, but you can see how much he's grown in that. I shout out to Bear Force over here. He's like, if someone calls you for a trade for a fourth or fifth rounder, you taking it. I think the fact that you can ask that question tells you that he's one of those guys. And Giants, yes, if you called, I would accept your call.
Yeah. I mean, he's putting together, you know, he's showing the ability to be able to play quarterback on this level, despite where he played college ball. And that's what you want to see. You know, the question marks for a guy coming from a smaller division of college football is, you know, is the game too fast? You know, what type of competition is he playing against? Yes, he had all these gaudy stats, 17,000 yards. Who was he doing it against? Who, you know what I mean? Who did he do it against? And for him to every time he gets an opportunity to go out there and perform well, to exceed expectations, is a credit to his preparation. It's a credit to, you know, his training, his coaching, even in college. And it's just his makeup, man. He's a guy that works hard, that has goals, and that's not going to stop, you know, until he achieves what he wants to achieve. And I think that's why he's going to continue to be successful in this league. He's hungry. You know, he's 100%. Hungry. He's not complacent, and he's not just going to settle just to be a backup in this league. You know, he wants to be a starter, and everybody wants to. If you're in this league, right, if you put in all the work since, you know, whenever you start playing ball, you're one of the best in the world. You're not settling for second best. You're not settling to be mediocre. You want to be the best. Right. And, you know, he has that in him. That's in his DNA. So I'm excited to see, you know, him play tomorrow here up in Kansas City. And you're looking for, I'm glad we got him as our backup. You know, a lot of teams don't have anything at quarterback. We got 1-2 right now. We're good.
Yeah, and let's be real. We're ripping maybe 3, right? Like you got some options on this team. Let me ask you this, J-Mac, before we get into what we want to see happen in next week's episode. What's the most tickets you ever bought for a game?
Isn't that crazy? Bought 82. I've never bought 80. Never.
Have you gotten close? Have you gotten anywhere near that?
Most I've bought is 25.
Okay, that's not bad.
But
here's the thing, though.
This is why I'm glad they showed that. And I wish, like, you know, I'm jealous because we didn't have Hard Knocks when I played. But here's the thing. Everybody just thinks players get free tickets, right?
Right.
And there was a clip there when Tyson was talking to Austin Reed. And he said, hey, are those your comps up there? So keep in mind, when I played, we got 2 comps. That's it. 2 comps. 2 free tickets. I don't know if it's changed. They might get 4 now. I don't know. I have to ask some of the guys. Yeah. But those were your 2 free ones. And then, you know, so when your relatives are asked for tickets, guys, that comes out of our check. They payroll deduct that. You know what I mean? So that $8 stacks came out of Tyson's check for this week. It's going to come out. So we just don't get free tickets. I'm glad they showed that. They make us pay too.
That had me dying too. Cause the funny part was, it was like, they still were in the 200 level and it's like, yeah, he up there. Yeah. You know what I mean, hey, fam is up there. Yeah. You know I mean, I bought 80 tickets.
Right. Matt, if it was lower level, he said it was $100 a ticket, right? Lower level, going to cost you about 150, probably about 200.
200 at least right now for preseason. Oof. I don't know, dog, because that was Caleb Williams' first game. Shoot, you probably talk about three something.
Well, look here. I got my buddy who lives here. He's a Kansas City police officer, one of my really good friends. I got him two tickets. Guess how much they were? $35. I mean, that tells you nobody's playing. Patty Moe's not playing. Caleb's not playing. Nobody's playing. So,
hey, you could have saved money. You could have bought them on game time right at the last second, dog. Hey, that's how I did going to the Hall of Fame game. I was like, man, let me go to this game, man. Let me get up in here, dog.
Hey, so you asked me, what do I want to see next week? I want to see how Hard Knocks is going to put this game together. No starters are in. How are you going to – you got to make sure you show all the young guys trying to make a roster. You know, make sure you reemphasize the fact that, hey, some of these guys, this is going to be the last time that they play football in their lives, unless it's a turkey bowl on Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? That's the reality of this game. So I want to see them put that emphasis on this episode. Guys are going to get cut. That's the NFL reality. Guys are going to, you know, be on the practice squad. Some guys are going to – the Bears are going to cut and want to put on practice squad. They're going to get claimed by other teams because they put together good resume tape throughout the preseason. Yeah. And like I said, there's some guys who this is going to be – their dreams aren't going to be achieved. Dreams are going to be crushed, right? I mean, that's NFL reality. So, you know, I want to see how these guys, you know, how Hard Knocks is going to put it together this week to really show that side of things. Like, everything looks good on Sundays when you see the guys out there parading around making plays. But for every guy that has success in the NFL, there's thousands of guys who didn't have a chance, who didn't make it because they just, you know, for whatever reason, they couldn't, you know, put their best performances out there. So they don't make a roster.
No, I think that, like, to me, probably not this week, but probably prepping the story of that is going to be big because cut down day is next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I think that the episode will already be put together. I know that we got confirmation yesterday. I think on CHGO, they talked about this. They had one of the producers on, said they're not doing a lot of profanity and stuff like that this year out of respect to the McCaskies. That you haven't seen a lot of the flare up moments. I need to see the fight. I need video. For those of you who don't know, I guess we haven't really talked about that on the podcast. Well, did I talk about it yesterday? I think I talked about it yesterday on the pod. There was a very good – the first one was more of a kerfuffle, J-Mac. You know what I mean? Like, there was
misunderstanding.
A misunderstanding. Javon Dexter came through and laid Ian Wheeler out. You know, they weren't understanding each other at that moment.
Make sure you're PG.
Hey, and then Tevin Jenkins had to come through and he had to have a conversation. And I'm going to tell you this right now. When you got 2'6" dudes having a conversation that close, it's kind of scary. And the last person you want to see in there is 5'5" Richard Hightower trying to separate things out there. You know what I'm saying? You're like, come on, baby. Good question. We got to get you away from here now. I'm sitting there watching like, Richard, get out of there, dog. Get out of there.
Easy, Richard. These guys are 6'6", and you're like this, man. We don't know. What are you pushing back, Richard?
He was pushing belly buttons, bro. He was pushing belly buttons away. It was a tough situation to see. But after that, right, you're like, all right, cooler heads prevail. Nobody gets into it. Very next play, I think it's TJ Edwards comes in, wraps up Velus in the backfield, and Tremaine Edmonds was like, well, I'll take a piece of that. And just, right, you know what I mean? Like, look, nice football hit. Y'all, the best part about this is when I told J-Mac this, J-Mac was like, they made contact? Like that was it. That was his takeaway from it.
They're all wearing a marshmallow cap, man. Come on, man. Everybody's good, man. They're wearing the mushroom Super Mario cap.
Oh yeah, but off of that one, right? There was a nice little brouhaha, shall we say? Yeah, I mean, there was some hands thrown. Which, why y'all do that, Jay? Man, I gotta ask a football. Why y'all be throwing punches?
It's just
helmet.
Reaction, man. It's just, you know, I used to grab the face mask and try to reach under and get them little, the little hockey trick. They pull the jersey and get them. I don't think, you know what, like you said, though, how much of that is Hard Knocks going to show because the cursing?
I don't know.
They're going to show some of it. Like, that's good content. You got to show some of that. And It was a closed practice, if I'm not mistaken, right, Pat?
Yesterday was open. Yesterday was an open practice.
Okay, so the fans saw that too?
Yes, the fans saw it. It was tweeted out. That's the only reason I think it makes it on the episode, because it's already out there.
Yeah.
I think that it'll be something where you get kind of a...
Hey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They
make you closer, man. You fight. Hey, Lovey used to say, look, you get in the fight, you know, you don't push your brother in the back. You don't hit him in the back. You know, man up, mano a mano, fight your brother. You know, you're going to fight. And then at the end of the day, we're going to hug it out. And we're going to go out here to battle with each other. You know what I mean? It makes you closer. We had a bunch of fights. You know,
y'all seem like the kind of group that has boxing gloves in the locker room.
We had a lot of fights, but it made us closer. It made us closer. You know what I mean? A little bloody nose, a little black eye, a little busted lip. You all right?
And you still got to go practice. That's the best part about it.
You're going to practice.
I love it, man. Hey, I hope to see that next week, though. I hope that we get a breakdown. And you know what? I want to see Floose's reaction to it, because we did get to see Floose say, you know, at the joint practice, if you fight, you will be kicked out. And what I love about it is, it's not you going to be kicked out and you going home. Is you gonna get kicked out and go work? You're going over there to
look. It was pouring down rain, so I was at that joint practice. I'm right on the sideline. And it was pouring down. So, I mean, if you would have fought, he kicks you out. You go home. He's doing you a favor. You're getting out the rain. I ain't got to do nothing else. I'm going home. Right. No, like I'm glad the fact. No, you're gonna leave and you're gonna go work because we're out here in the rain. You know what I mean? But at the same time, that was, you know, you saw that, you know, well, they didn't show, I don't think they showed a couple of guys got injured from Cincinnati in that.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
They didn't show that part. So, and I was at the practice. That's why I know about it. A couple guys got hurt, which was unfortunate. But at the same time, I mean, that's football. And I think that I love the fact that they show, and they've shown throughout all these episodes, right, Coach Luce's personality as a coach, right? And everybody talks about, oh, he's a player's coach, right? Everybody throws that term out there, okay? You see Coach Luce is a player's coach, right? He's close to his players. He cares about his players. He's giving them all nicknames. He's interacting with them. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has a nickname, you know, except for Tory Taylor. He didn't give Tory Taylor a nickname. Talked about it in this episode. But, you know, he's a player's coach. He cares about his guys. You know, he cares about them as people, not just players. And that's the type of interaction and I'm a head coach, high school head coach, and I'm the same way with my kids. And, you know, when a player sees that you care about him as not just a football player, he's going to give you his all. You know, he's going to run through a brick wall for you. You know what I mean? I would have loved to play for Coach Floose because he has that type of personality. And I'm glad they're showing that on Hard Knocks so people can see it. Because,
oh, boy. Oh, he had a good run. He had a great run. He was almost to the end. We almost made it. We tried to push it a little too far.
Man, bro.
You almost made it, dog.
Man, I was there, man. I don't know what happened. I was getting into my Floose moment. I was giving y'all Floosisms. I was giving you all the Floosisms, and the internet Floosed me out, bro.
2023 Floose. 2023, not 2024.
Right, man. The unbearded Floose, the clean cut.
Unbearded Floose. Yes. A dangerous Floose to have on your team. Hey, man, we appreciate y'all for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We'll be back next week with both of us probably in the same spot to do this episode. Well, I guess you'll probably have practice, but he'll be in Illinois, is the point. I won't be in Illinois, though. Will I get the tables turned on me this time? Oh, we'll see how the tables turn. Stay tuned in with us. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Thank you to ComEd for sponsoring this segment of the podcast. ComEd, always keeping energy clean. Appreciate them for everything that they do, man. For Jason McKee, your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there.